Obviously, I just want to begin with Hakara Satov. Thank you. Thank you for a delicious and beautiful lunch. Thank you for having me. It's really a treat and a privilege to be here. I also want to thank God because I didn't get lost, which was, I would say, a semi-miraculous event, which was great. Not, as I mentioned to Nathan, I didn't get lost getting to the parking garage, and not getting lost from the parking garage here was also
a miracle of WhatsApp.
Thank God. Baruch Hashem. So that was really great. And I'm really delighted to be here with all of you. And I'm very inspired because the fact that you take time out from your busy schedules to come together, just for the idea of being together, for a time to devote to a sense of community, and as you articulated, different people from different backgrounds, but specifically today, for coming together not just for the camaraderie, but for the learning. It's really amazing because it's a busy environment that we live in, and that everybody, I look around this table, everybody has things to do and work to accomplish, and the fact that you are devoting some time in your day, in the middle of your day, when you probably have a whole list of things to be taken care of, it's really beautiful and it's remarkable, and I'm sure that that will stand you in good stead as you're developing your own path in terms of your Jewish and spiritual growth. So our topic today is Jewish emotional intelligence. Now, I guess the first thing to figure out is what is emotional intelligence, and then we'll think about why that's important as Jewish people. So does anybody know what is emotional intelligence and maybe what it's not, what its contrast would be? I guess we call this the EQ, but what is emotional intelligence? Anybody know?
Self-awareness in how we're reacting to other people, and also an awareness of how they're reacting.
Exactly. So it's a self-awareness, and it's an awareness of I in my svita. Yeah, what were you going to add?
In the materialistic world in which most of us work, sometimes it's called people skills.
Great. So there is not so much about the intelligence in terms of cognition, of intellect. It's more an intelligence of people skills, of affect, of understanding the world of emotion. So these two realms, what we could call the IQ, the intelligence quotient, what is cognitive about ourselves, and the emotional part of ourselves, our emotional intelligence, are crucial to creating a whole individual. And recent research, although there is some debate about this, but I think the majority of research has shown that emotional intelligence is really crucial for our self-development as individuals, as human beings, but of course, as we'll see, as Jews. Here's one place to think about that, one way, for starters. Where does Judaism begin? What is the point of departure for Judaism? Imagine you could ask Maimonides, the Rambam, what is the beginning, what is the starting point for all of Judaism? So the Rambam says, I'll tell you what it is. The Rambam wrote a book, as we know, his magnum opus called the Mishneh Torah, the full compendium of Jewish law and Jewish life. Rambam says, all you need to succeed in Jewish life is a Tanakh and my book, and you're covered. So where does it all boil down to? What is the point of departure? The Rambam says it's on your pages. It's the first halacha in the laws of what we call Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah, the laws of the fundamentals of Judaism. Says the Rambam, Yesod HaYesodos, the fundamental of fundamentals, Va'amar HaChachmos, and the foundation, the pillar of all wisdom is what? Leida sheyesh sham matsui rishon. To know that there is a matsui rishon. What does the word matsui mean?
Found,
exactly. There is something which is found that is original. That is another way of what we would call God or Hashem. There is something that came before everything. The source of all, what we call the Or Ein Sof, that there is an obligation, there is an understanding that this source is mamtzi v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, And everything that was created came from this one source, and nothing exists outside of that realm. Okay? This is the belief in God. God is a very limiting term, but the idea, the Rambam says, of Matsui Rishon, there is this original source of everything. What word does the Rambam choose? What verb is our charge as it relates to Hashem? What's that? To know. Leida. So here's the interesting thing. The word da'as is not the only word which we could think of if you want to talk about information or knowledge or wisdom. There are multiple words. The word das that the Rambam uses here is a very specific choice of a verb. Where else do we find the word das? In what context? In this case, it has an ayin, da'as. It has to do with intimacy between a husband and a wife. V'ha'adam yada eschava ishto. So, das, in that context, is not a cognitive experience. It is an emotional, intimate experience. So, it's not, perhaps, the Rambam is telling us, it's not enough, or it's not the focus of our experience to be aware cognitively or intellectually that there is a God. It has to be an experience of our emotion. It's got to be affect. It's got to be from the emotional intelligence part of ourselves, because that's what Das is. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, he has an amazing ha'ara, an observation, that when we talk about Das versus Chachma, both of which could be translated loosely as knowledge, Chachma is external wisdom. 1 + 1 = 2, I can do that math. But that's not the same as Das. Chachma is external, Das is an immersive experience. You get to know it because it's close to you, it becomes a part of who you are. That is what Das is about. So perhaps it's important that the Rambam is telling us, it's not just to know enough that we could philosophize about God, and the Rambam was a great philosopher, it's that our awareness of Hashem should become part of who we are. It should have an effect on our being. It should be an emotional experience. And that's why, if you were to ask Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, arguably one of the most influential rabbinic Jewish personalities of the 20th century, what is the most important thing in life? That's a big question for a Wednesday in the middle of lunch at 12:30. You know, not everybody's thinking about what is the most important thing in life, but the Rav says we should do that. What is the most important thing in life? So you have it here on source 2. Where is he drawing from? He's drawing from his experience connecting to and knowing a woman whose name was Rebbetzin Rivka Twersky. She was known as the Tolliner Rebbetzin. She lived in Boston. Her husband was the Tolliner Rebbe. When she died, Rav Soloveitchik delivered a eulogy in her memory, and he talks about her life and the idea of her message and what she represented. It's a beautiful eulogy. And in the context, Rav Soloveitchik has a description of his mother, his own mother, whose name was Pesya. Pesya, her maiden name was Feinstein, married name was Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik's mother came from a very distinguished rabbinic family that had a unique blend of experiences, although his mother was from a very prominent rabbinic family, from the Feinstein family. They had a kind of openness to the world, and she had a very unique blended personality, Rav Soloveitchik describes about his mother. So he talks about how his mother used to conduct herself and used to be Maver Sedra and used to prepare the house for Shabbos and created a particular environment. So he says, I learned from my mother the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life is what? Quote, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting on, I think the original is, upon my frail shoulder. Resting upon my frail shoulder. This is a man who was of, we should say, towering intellect. There's a book of letters, if you're interested in being amazed. Rav Soloveitchik was studying in the late 1920s in Berlin for his doctorate in philosophy. When he was there, he exchanged letters with his family members, with his father, with other members of his family's brother, and other rabbinic personalities. I have a copy of these letters. They were published by his son, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. They're called Igros HaGrid, the letters of Rav Soloveitchik. I would be happy to lend them to you, and I suspect that they would be a great moneymaker if you wanted to put down a wager. You could ask anybody who you know to open that book and find one letter that they could study and master. Challenge them. It is absolutely incredible. The topics that Rav Soloveitchik is tackling in these letters are some of the most difficult and obscure halachic issues in all of the world of Jewish learning. And you know when he's writing them? When he's spending his days full-time in university studying philosophy, just on the side, he happens to also know the entirety of Torah and is an expert in some of the most nuanced details. You're talking about a man of towering, nearly unparalleled intellect. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing, says Rav Soloveitchik, is to feel. It's not the cognitive leida, it's the experience, the emotional, the affective leida. That's the main focus. So if we talk about how are we going to develop ourselves Jewishly, of course the intellectual, the IQ is important. If a person doesn't prioritize studying, so first of all, they won't know how to conduct themselves. They won't know how to lead a life that is infused with the meaning that the halacha and the specific expectations provide. So, of course, there's what we call mevile de masa, the learning, so that we can do. And then there is, even a higher level, there's the learning for the sake of learning, for enriching ourselves in our knowledge of Torah, which is the wisdom of God. Hashem sends us, so to speak, God wrote a letter, that is Torah. He put it in a little scroll, and he handed it to us. So if we think that it's precious, we're going to study it. So those are all lofty goals, studying for knowledge and studying for the appreciation of God's wisdom. But that's all in the mind. The other half of the Leida is in the heart. It's in the emotional development. It's what kind of personality, what kind of Torah personality do I become through my experience of being close to Hashem? So in my mind, the idea of emotional intelligence, of becoming emotionally developed, is crucial to Judaism. Because otherwise, how are we going to accomplish our goal of Leida? So that's for starters. Any questions, comments, or observations thus far? So let's go back to your point from before, which was that there are two dimensions of emotional intelligence. And we need to think about each one of them. What were these two components? The self-awareness, understanding who we are, and then understanding ourselves vis-a-vis others. Those are not simple things. To understand who I am, that requires a really hard look in the mirror. And then even if I understand who I am, thinking about and understanding where I belong in a group and what the dynamic is around me is also very complex. These two aspects of emotional intelligence are of primary importance in Judaism, and Judaism has something to say about them as we develop them for ourselves. So here's one starting place. This is a sefer. This sefer is called Alei Shur. It's by a very influential thinker who his biography itself is very interesting. He was born in a German Jewish family before the war. During the war, he was for a period of time in Sweden. He was helping refugees. He made his way to Israel, and he became a very influential Jewish thinker and ethicist, moralist. His name was Rabbi Shlomo Volvi. You see his picture in that little circle on the left side. Rav Soloveitchik is on the right side with that fantastic-looking goatee from his earlier years. Rav Volbi in his later years. So Rav Volbi emigrates to Israel, and he is a very, he's clearly a very sensitive soul. He is attuned to the nuances of the human spirit, and he merges his Torah knowledge with his sensitivity to the human experience, and he becomes a great exponent of what we could call the Musar movement, or the movement toward personal development. So this is one of two volumes that he wrote, and it includes essays for, it's primarily addressing yeshiva students. And in this volume, where he talks about lots of different topics like society and how to study Talmud and prayer and the high holidays and struggling and depression, lots of different topics, he has one introduction, which you have a little piece of in front of you, and source number 3, comes from a section called Psicha Avoda Pratis. He says, wait a second. Each one of us, we want to grow. We want to grow closer to Hashem. We want to accomplish spiritually in this world. But he says, that's going to differ on an individual basis from person to person, what any one particular person's skill set is. So in the context of personal development, which is what he's talking about, he has a psicha. The word psicha means liftoach, poseach, what's that? That's right. It's an opening. It's an initial, I guess you'd say it's the opening salvo. It's an initial concept that's going to lay the foundation for everything he's going to develop. What he's telling us is, this is basic. We need to understand this. And what does he tell us? Take a look in source number 3. He says, speaking personally, candidly, Meirov b'nei Odom, from most people, ne'elam kalil olam pnimi zeh. He says, for most people, their olam pnimi, their inner world, is totally, kalil means completely hidden from them. Most people, he says, do not cultivate their sense of self. How many people spend time exploring, who am I? What makes me who I am? What's distinct about me? Where do I come from? That requires a tremendous amount of work. He says, Rov b'nei Adam, most people, chayim es chayehem, they live their life bekivun. What does the word kivun mean? Direction. Where are we oriented? Are we oriented internally into ourselves, our sense of self? He says, bekivun el ha'olam ha'chitzoni, to others. If I drill down and ask myself, why am I presenting myself in a certain situation in this way? Is it because that's true to my sense of self? Or is it because that's what's going to be appropriate for someone else? Well, do I even know what it means to be true to myself? Who am I? What am I? What am I all about? How often do we stop to explore that? Most of the time, our interactions with others, it's because, well, this is going to be appropriate in the way that people are going to perceive me. But it has nothing to do with my true inner self. He says, "Vehim mefachadim." People are often afraid, lahafoches kivun chayim, to turn the direction of their lives inward, pnima el atzmam, internally into ourselves. It's a huge deal. The whole description of this psicha la'avoda pratis is that if we want to grow in our spiritual lives, obviously we have to know ourselves. It's going to be what is unique to us that we're going to develop, but if we don't know that, how are we ever going to grow? So self-awareness is crucial to Jewish spiritual self-development. He gives a terrific analogy. Imagine, you know, we all have certain health guidelines in common. They come from the CDC. I suspect the CDC has certain things that we're all supposed to do. So everybody's supposed to get certain vaccinations at certain stages in life, which I hope we all did. Great. everybody's supposed to do a certain amount of exercise. Halavai. Okay, it's good. It's an aspiration. We're all supposed to have a certain amount of vitamins and fruits and vegetables. Those are universal health recommendations. And then every person has their own particular makeup. So imagine you went to a physician, you went to an internist, and you said, you know, I don't need an appointment today. He says, what do you mean? You're scheduled for the 12:30. You say, no. I saw the guy at the 11:30 appointment. He looks pretty good, so I'm just going to take whatever he's got. Whatever medication he has, I'll just take it. I'm sure it'll be really good. He looks good, right? You're nodding your head as if it's not going to work.
Not going to work.
Why not? Yes. So the medication that the physician is going to prescribe for the 11:30 patient could be exceedingly damaging for the 12:30 patient. Everybody, when it comes to healthcare, needs their own personal, unique treatment plan. So that's true in spiritual life also. There are certain universal principles that we all relate to that are appropriate for everybody. Prayer, study, personal ethical development, that's universal. That's good. But could a person live only on the universal recommendations that they get from the CDC? No, because each one of us has different experiences and different biological makeup, so we also have different spiritual makeup and different spiritual experiences. So we need to make sure that we're treating spiritually the neshama that is distinct and unique to each one of us. So we're going to follow the general guidelines, but we're also going to follow the specific spiritual guidelines that are unique to me. Well, how am I going to know what spiritual guidelines are unique to me if I don't understand myself? If I don't develop a sense of self-awareness? Where are my blind spots? Where are my shortcomings? If I can identify those, then I can work on them. If I'm not aware of the fact that I'm not generous, how am I going to cultivate a generous personality? Right? That might be, God might have put me in this world to be misaking, to mend that element of my soul. But if I'm not paying attention to it, I could be totally misplaced. I could be missing my opportunity. There's an old legend, I don't know who it's from, maybe some say it's from Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzon or other rabbis. The rabbi's name is not important. But there was a man who was sitting in the back of a synagogue on the night of Rosh Hashanah. And he was, after the synagogue services were over, he was praying devoutly. He was reciting Tehillim, the Psalms. And he wasn't the only person. Because this was common, apparently, in this synagogue in Europe, in this little shtibel, that on the night of Rosh Hashanah, after shul, the poor people, lo aleinu, the indigent folks, they didn't have so much meal to rush back to, so they would sit afterwards. They wouldn't rush back to have a suda. They would just sit and say Tehillim. And who is this man sitting in the back? One of the very, very wealthy members of the community who happened not to be particularly generous. So the rabbi comes over to him and says, sir, you know, everybody has a tafkid in life. It's the tafkid of the poor people to sit after Rosh Hashanah davening and say Tehillim. It's not their tafkid to give tzedakah. That's not their issue. He said, it's the tafkid of the wealthy people to go home and have a delicious suda and make sure that you give enough tzedakah so that the poor people will have a suda. Don't get confused. Don't sit here and say Tehillim. Go home and have a suda and write a check. That's your tafkid. But unless we're aware...
Just remember that one.
Right? Unless...
I'm taking notes.
Unless we're aware that that's what our capacity is and that's what our mission is and that's what Hashem is expecting of us, so how are we ever going to do that? We're not going to be able to fulfill that calling. So the first thing is we need to develop Jewish self-awareness so that we can accomplish why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought our soul into this world at this time. That's one half of the coin. The second half of the same coin is that a lack of self-awareness leads to many, many, many problems, difficulties, and shortcomings in our spiritual lives. And don't take my word for it. That's not... Bechlal, everybody should be aware. Some of you don't know me. So for the people who know me, they already know that I don't know so much, Baruch Hashem. But the people who don't know me should be very well aware. I'm not an expert on anything. I'm a young man trying to learn from my Rebbeim and learn together. So one of my amazing teachers, whom I learned a tremendous amount from, although I haven't yet met him, is a psychiatrist by the name of Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky. And he's written over 60 books. And he says, all his books are basically the same thing. And take a look here in number four. I have a little volume that he wrote called Letters to My Children. He says, I have been accused of having a one-track mind, and I plead guilty as charged. Go ahead. Paul, you want to read this for us? Very, very dramatic.
I have indeed said that with the exception of those psychiatric disorders that are of a physiological causation, for example, bipolar disorder, all psychological disorders are due, at least in part, and sometimes entirely, to low self-esteem.
Ah. What is the shoresh, he says, of so many midos ro'os, negative character traits of anger and jealousy, competition, unhealthy competition? Where does it all come from? Resentment, frustration. Where is it arrogance, where does it come from? It comes from low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is another word of saying imbalanced self-awareness. Because if a person is aware of the fact that we are B'Tselem Elohim, created in the image of God, with a spark of God, with a unique set of qualities that are appropriate to us for a particular circumstance, then we'll feel good about ourselves and we'll be able to go about our mission in life. But when we don't have a healthy self-awareness, then we fall into this dissonance where we can't be comfortable with ourselves, and we create this image of what we're supposed to be and what we are, and we fall into the trap of low self-esteem, which he says is the shoresh, it's the root of what we could say kol midos ro'os, of all the difficult struggles that we have. So we need to build our self-awareness, A, because it enables us to grow, and B, because when we don't, we run the risk of falling into all of these pitfalls. When we do build our self-awareness, you know what we have? We have something incredible. We have a great spiritual gift. And maybe we could think about this in the following interesting frame. The Talmud in Maseches Makos, in source number 5, the Gemara says, you know, 613 mitzvahs, that's a lot. It's a lot to keep track of. Why don't we just try to condense that to, say, 11 or 3? The Gemara says, great, I'll give you 11, I'll give you 3. Then the Gemara concludes, I'll give you one. One mitzvah. This is going to encapsulate the entirety of Torah. Ba Chavakuk, says the prophet Chavakuk, I'll give you one. Ve'emidon al-achas. Shenemar, says the pasuk, v'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. And the tzadik, the righteous person, he lives with emuna. Emuna, the feeling, the presence, the awareness of Hashem. Beautiful. The presence of Hashem, like Rav Soloveitchik said, that's constant in our lives. It accompanies us through our entire journey in this earth. But says Rav Tzadok HaKoyin of Lublin, in the Tzidkas HaTzadik, something amazing. It's not just that all of our life can be distilled down to the concept of emuna, that we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Tzadok on the left side in the box, Kishim Sha'adam Tzarech Lahamin Ba'Hashem Yisborach. Just like we have to believe in God, kach tzarech achakach lahamin ba'atzmo. So too afterwards, we have to believe in ourselves. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I woke you up this morning to accomplish something, we have to believe that we can do that. And that is correlated with a healthy self-awareness. It's realizing that we are a soul, we have a mission, we have the capacity to do something with our lives. And that actually now, it goes to the core of Yiddishkeit, of emuna, of believing in Hashem and believing in ourselves. So that's Aleph. That's the one side of this equation in terms of internal self-awareness. But what about the other aspect of emotional intelligence as we relate to others? Knowing our role in a greater context. So this too is a fundamental aspect of being Jewish and being spiritual. Because when Adam HaRishon was created, he was created as a solitary being. And what did God say about that solitary being?
It's no good.
No good. It's not good that a person is solitary. A person needs to exist in a context among others. So immediately, God is giving Adam the charge, the challenge, and the opportunity to navigate a world with others. So that's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Not to be an island, but to be in a greater context with other people and to be able to function optimally with other people in teams, whether that team, that community is in a home, in a marriage, in a friendship, in a work context, in a business framework, in whatever transaction, we have to be able to. God wants us to develop that spiritual muscle. Lo tov yo'aseh adam levado. We've got to be able to do that. And we realize that, of course, that's a huge part of our lives, how we relate to other people. In this respect, we can understand why our journey in the spiritual realm is not solely, exclusively in the personal inner focus. Many of us are familiar with one opinion. It's not the only opinion. There are multiple opinions in the Midrashic tradition, in the Gemara Yerushalmi and in the Rishonim, what the tablets looked like. In a couple of weeks, we're going to get the tablets again at Sinai. Familiar, the Ten Commandments, Ten Statements, however you're going to call them. Good, Aseres Hadibros, right? How did they look? So there are different approaches, but most of us are familiar with the tablets that you have here on the screen. These are not the actual tablets. They're just from YouTube, whatever, the Google images. And they probably weren't round, according to most opinions. But anyway, according to the majority view that we like to look at, there are two tablets. What's on the first half of the tablets? How many?
Five
and five. So what's the difference? What do the first five have in common, and what are the second half five in common?
God and man.
Right. So isn't it interesting that these two are put on equal footing? My own personal development in my relationship with God, that's on the one half. The exact parallel is my relationship and how do I navigate my self-awareness, my interactions with other people. Not only that, you could argue, I once heard from my Rebbe in YU, Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, he once pointed, I think he quoted from the Mabit, that if you look, actually, the number of words in the first five commandments far exceed the number of words on the second set of commandments. It's lo sirtzach, lo sirtzach, just two-word commandments. The first one is long paragraphs of you should remember the Shabbos, and this one shouldn't work, and that one shouldn't work. So he says, well, if the tablets are going to be balanced with the amount of weight, so you know what you're going to have. The tablets were carved. So how are you going to balance the size and the weight of the first tablet and the second tablet to make sure that they're the same? What do you need to do in terms of the sizing of the letters?
Make the letters smaller.
Which ones go smaller?
There's more words.
Yes. So now imagine if you're looking at the tablets, if you're a Jewish person standing at Sinai getting the tablets, which ones are in huge letters? The Bein Adam LaChaveiro, the interpersonal ones. That's actually getting more emphasis. That's the idea of how we can navigate being with other people. It's on equal footing, and it even gets, in a certain sense, greater prominence. This is the second half of spiritual emotional intelligence. What is my place vis-a-vis somebody else? There is a very important Mishnah, but it's not actually a Mishnah. The sixth chapter of Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers, is, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but it's not actually a Mishnah, it's a bonus. We love bonuses. There are five chapters in Masechet Avot. Those five chapters are part of the Mishnah. But because there are 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, and people love learning Mishnayos Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, we're going to give you a number six. It's a Mishnaic text, but it's not a Mishnah. It's a Brisa. It's from the same period. And in that is what we call Brisa of Kinyan Torah, how to acquire Torah. And there, in the Mishnayos, they have a list of 48 ways in which we acquire Torah. Very important suggestions, advice, things like that. Awesome. What is number 26? Look at source number 6. V'hatorah niknes The Torah is acquired with 48 ways. What is number 26? Vahamakir esmakomo. What do the words vahamakir esmakomo mean? That's right. Knowing your place. What does it mean to know your place? It means to understand where you fit in the constellation of other people in your orbit. This is a beautiful commentary on Ethics of the Fathers on Pirkei Avos by a prominent Orthodox Jewish leader. His name was Irving Bunin. He died, I don't know when, the 70s maybe? He died a while ago. What does it mean to be Makiris Makomo? So he points out he will realize his proper role and relationship to those about him, his privilege and responsibilities. Among greater scholars than he will keep silent. When he is the best educated, he will realize his responsibilities and take the lead. That's emotional intelligence as we relate to other people. That's that awareness. That's Makir Es Makomo. So this brings us to our concluding note, which is, because this seemed to be, to me, to be a business lunch, so of course we have to have a Harvard Business Review article, otherwise I wouldn't fit in here. How to boost your and others' emotional intelligence. So this is an article from 2017 from a guy. His name is Tomas Chamorro Premuschik and Michael Sanger. The first fellow, Tomas, is a professor at Columbia. The other one is an organizational psychologist. So they talk about how we can develop emotional intelligence. Even if we don't have it so much, we can work on it. So what is one of the ways, one of the little tidbits? He says, display humility. Interestingly, he says, even if it's fake. Even if you're not there yet. But to be able to act with humility. So he discusses that at the end of this article. But I was thinking, isn't that idea, the notion of humility, isn't that the expression of Makir Es Makomo? Of knowing your place, where you belong in the group, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Emotional intelligence is about figuring out appropriateness. Who am I? Who are the people around me? And what is appropriate at this time in this context? So at a particular business meeting, if I have the correct amount of humility, humility doesn't mean self-negation. If at the business meeting you're the only one with the answer to the crucial question, and you say, who am I to tell the... That's wasting the God-given talent that you have. But rather, to understand that you have been given something and you're going to share it with others in an appropriate context, that's humility. That's very much the idea of Makir Es Makomo. So to summarize, our exploration today is about the general idea of emotional intelligence from a Jewish perspective, emotional intelligence being about affect, understanding our feelings, our experiences from an emotional standpoint, which is crucial in terms of our development of our spiritual selves, of our relationship with Hashem, with godliness. That's the baseline. That's the Leda as Hashem. But that's going to be practical in two realms. In terms of our own self-awareness, as Rav Volbe says, we need to understand ourselves to be able to develop what's unique to us spiritually and, as Dr. Tversky said, alluded to avoid these potential spiritual pitfalls that may come from an unhealthy self-awareness. And then, in terms of how we navigate our relationship with other people, understanding Vahamakir Es Makomo, understanding how we relate to others and where we fit in, especially using the concept of anava, of humility, of understanding our context and how we fit into that, then that can draw us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to our ultimate goals and whatever we want to accomplish in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.